radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. Hope everyone has a happy and safe 4th of July this week. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, followed by today's sermon, Arise, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. Jesus raises a widow's son. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. God's word for God's people.
Thanks be to God. Today, evangelism and missions is still a hot topic in ministry circles, and it should be. We are called to preach, to teach, to witness, to model the great commission of Jesus Christ, to serve the lost, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to come alongside the lonely, to visit those in prison. This is our call. Our call is not to come together in a nice air-conditioned church and sit for an hour and then walk away, forgetting everything that we have heard. We are called to live forth the Great Commission, caring for the least of these. We are called to be His hands and feet. We are called to share about His witness to everyone. Several years ago, one of the Lucerne Mission Conferences, a large national conference who trains and teaches people to do evangelism, in other words, witness, and trains people to go out and serve on missions, came up with something rather remarkable. They said, according to all their statistical studies, that it did not appear that all of their training was doing any good. It wasn't making a difference in our nation. It wasn't changing the hearts of people sitting in our pews. So they decided they would add one more ingredient. And that ingredient, beloved, was preaching and teaching about miracles. Teaching people to pray for the miracles of the book of Acts. Teaching people that miracles do still astound us this day. We just have to look for them. Sometimes they are as simple as a family feud miraculously being dropped. Sometimes they are as huge as a marriage being reunited after years and years of misery. Sometimes healing comes about through the prayers of one another. sometimes through the doctors, and sometimes the ultimate healing comes about when we are called on high. But in between that, all of the different stages, us being prepared to meet our Maker, us being prepared to deal with life on life's terms, is no less of a miracle. Death, beloved, is a miracle just the same as birth is. God is indeed present there. This conference noticed that many church missionaries had been going out and doing missions for years and years and saw absolutely no change in their own church body until they started taking the church out to the world. Yes, beloved, we are called to gather in here. We are called to gather in the sanctuary, to pray for one another, to uplift one another, to love one another, to hear the word of God. But we are also called to take the word of God by witness, by example, and by deed out into our community. The times of the world is changing. Our young people want to be active. And our older people have so very much to share. You are the stability that gives another person the courage to continue on to live one more day. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, we are told God is not silent. He has a word for all of the earth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Mark's Gospel even tells us Jesus came preaching. The content of what Christ preached is found in the Old Testament, the Bible of Christ's own day. He learned it so well that at age 12, he could stand in the temple and impress the lifelong scholars. And what did he preach? It's recorded in the book of Luke. He preached Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. I have been called for such a time as this. I have been called to preach the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the lame, to restore sight to the blind. Beloved, miracles aren't a thing of the past. They have been around us constantly. We just have to have faith. And sometimes the miracle is giving faith, upholding another person's faith. Nowadays, most people don't even know what is in the Bible. We are being called to fulfill the word. We are not called to be a broken people living in today's world. What we have in the New Testament is accurate. It's an accurate accounting of the life of Jesus, his teaching, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to return to us. By preaching the word, we mean neither adding to it nor subtracting from it. The message of Christ as contained in the Old and the New Testament. Many rightly ask, how it is can you arrive at such an ancient book having so much authority? Well, you either believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and that this book is full of absolute truth, or you believe that he was a good man, that he taught good principles, and that this has good stories. Which is it that you are going to believe? Is the Word of God truth? Is Jesus Christ the living Son of God the Father? who died, who was resurrected, and who ascended into heaven. Beloved, even preachers today have a hard time. I know I'm one of them. I struggle to make sure I am in the Word every day. You are called to pray for me daily. You are called to remind me. You are called to make sure as a church that I have time to study the Word. Not just so that I can preach a well-crafted sermon, but so that I can answer a 15-year-old who says, I am consumed with thoughts of death. I can't think of anything but death. I'm losing my faith. Pastor, help me. I don't know what to do. I better know the Word well enough to come back to that child and to tell them, this is what the Word of God says. The closer that you get to God, the more the enemy whispers in your ear and tells you you are not good enough. Unfortunately, without people like you and I to uphold some of these young people, the enemy gets a hold of them and they turn to drugs, they turn to sex, they turn to suicide. Each and every one of us are called to know enough about this Word, enough about the Holy Spirit to be stirred to compassion. And when called to pray, pray intensely, because these kids are fighting a battle that is 20 times more difficult than the battles that we fought. They are being besieged with everything around them. They stand no chance without our support, without our help, without us lifting them up, without us praying for them, without us saying, we remember you, whether you were present here today or not. We remember you and we uphold you. We have one of our own right now that is struggling so much with the thought of death and darkness that she does not know how to go on with her faith. And I am calling you to action. You pray for that one. You come to me and find out who it is, and I will tell you how to encourage that one. We are called to encourage all of them. Today is an abysmal state in our world. Pastors need to be mentored by talented older preachers. I thank God today for the mentoring I had from my mentor, but I don't have it so much now. I have to find other people that I can be honest with, that can uphold me, that can teach me, that can remind me what my call is today. Today's text says that we are to take the Word out onto the streets, into every valley of human need, even sad funeral marches, where widows walk with no hope but to bury their only son. You notice that Jesus and his disciples were out walking when they saw the funeral procession. When they heard the widow of Nain wailing and hurting, and he went over. He had compassion. You see, in that day and age, a widow with no children had no provision. She'd be cast out. They wouldn't give her food. They wouldn't care for her. Later, God told people, take care of the widows, take care of the orphans, take care of the needy. Granted, a lot of people take advantage of that today. It is not our job to figure that out. It is not our job to judge. All we are called to do is what the Word of God has taught us to do, and to continue on with that. Too often, we make the church a stained glass foxhole in which we hunker down for the duration. We are safe here. Everything is blessed here. Beloved, we are to take the hope that we have out to the streets. We are called to be the church outside of this building. In this text, Jesus shows us that he and his disciples get out into the world, taking the word, sharing the truth. Sociologists point out that the average person has about 50 significant social encounters per week. Do you know that your smile, your hug, your good morning can change a person's life? Here we go. I'm going to use some of those 25-cent words they taught me in seminary. You see, our Christology, our view of Christ Jesus, can go no higher than our bibliology, our view of Scripture. If I say Jesus is God, but Scripture is unreliable, even though Jesus said Scripture is true, then I say God in Christ is wrong. And so I lessen his deity. Either Christ is God and Scripture is viewed as truth, as he proclaimed, or Jesus is a mere mortal and the Bible is just another book. Pope John Paul said it well. Come straight from the book of Jude. We do not make up the faith as we go along. Rather, it is a faith once delivered. That faith has been delivered. It has been delivered through the reading of the word. It has been delivered through sitting here in church. It has been delivered through the Holy Spirit speaking one-on-one to our spirits. That faith indeed has been delivered, and we are called to follow that. The second ingredient that the Lausanne Missions Conference encouraged is attractive presence. Not are we dressed all neat and nice with our best and shiniest clothing on and our hair combed perfectly. Beloved, yes, I try to come to church dressed nice, but God could care less what we have on, what we look like, what we smell like. What he cares about is the content of our heart, our mind, and our spirit. This attractive presence means we speak the good news. But in order to speak the good news, we must be the good news. We must share with other people how Christ has delivered us, how he has changed our life personally. I one time long ago preached at a small church and a chapel on a university campus in the same week. The week happened to be a time that was besieged by the flu. When I preached at the small little church, they all sat away from each other. They all sat stony-eyed looking at me. And then one of the elders got up before I was even done and suggested that we leave without shaking hands or hugging so that nobody got the flu. I kind of got that on one hand. On the other hand, I shook my head and I looked around and I thought, no wonder it is so dismal in here. No wonder it is so empty in here. They are so fearful. And then I went to the university campus. Same campus was under attack by the flu. And all I heard was how they were going to take soup to the infirm, how they were going to pray for the sick, how they were going to offer to run errands. We'll take this one's homework to the professor. We'll bring this one their homework and their books. We'll make little care packages and we'll deliver them. And their faces were aglow. The entire campus began talking about the Christians and their good works and what they were doing for God. And when I left that chapel that day, it was with the biggest smile on my face. And I looked around and I said, even during a time that is besieged with the flu, no wonder this chapel is so full. They were living out what the Word of God has taught them to do. In this text, Jesus is not hiding from the world. He was out in it, striding into the village of Nain, running full head on into the widow, into a mass of weeping and crying and screaming people, into the knotty problem of an only son's death. There he was with a word of hope and encouragement. Excuse me. Now that is an attractive presence. Each one of us are called to have an answer for the hope that we have. Jesus embodied compassion. Jesus embodied love. Grace encounters. We come now to the third ingredient, often called power encounters. I prefer grace encounters because grace isn't always noticeably powerful. Grace is sometimes small little bits of things that forever change somebody else's life. The compassion that Christ had was also a dynamic encounter with the power of God the Father as he raised the widow's son from the dead. For years, a large segment of the church has labored to proclaim the Bible, maintain the church building brimming full of classes, daycare programs, friendly people, and all kinds of things that fill our bulletin. But now a large number of young people are saying, it's nice to be among such loving people. Indeed, you labor well in proclaiming the living word of Christ. But when do we stop talking about it and do something about it? When do we get out there and be his hands and feet? I know many of you already do this in a lot of ways, and I commend you for that. Keep up with it. Grab a young person and involve them in it. You would be amazed what a 5-year-old, what an 11-year-old, what a 17-year-old can do to encourage our elderly. What they can do to be the hands and feet of Christ, and they are hungry to do such. Sometimes we as Christians are afraid to pray. We're afraid, and I know pastors that say this. They admonish me. They say, you act like these miraculous healings are possible. You act like conversions are possible, that they're miracles. And I said, aren't they? Each and every time somebody's life is changed and they turn back to God, that is a miracle in my eyes. People warn me all the time, don't pray for what you cannot deliver. You know what? When I pray and God heals, that's not me. That is not me. All glory and honor goes to God. So why should I refrain from praying because he might not heal? We don't have to understand God's ways to pray with depth, with intensity, with full belief, with courage. Now, I know some of you are having trouble here. Like I said, pastors tell me all the time, you act like you believe in miraculous conversions. And I turn and look at them and say, what other kind is possible? when someone changes their life and turns towards Christ. That is indeed a miracle. Not all miracles are dramatic. Some come by a process subtly. In recovery, we call this a spiritual awakening of the educational variety, meaning we learn bit by bit and we are changed. In Christianity, that happens as well. Bit by bit, we study the Word of God. Bit by bit, every time we read it, it is a little different, and we get what we need out of it, and it changes our hearts and our spirits. There are over 6 billion people on planet Earth today, yet our churches are so empty. One pastor said, people are staying away in droves. It's not just our church, beloved. It's not just the Methodist church. It's not just the Seymour churches. It is all the churches across the nation. And the problem isn't so much with getting people to come to church. The real challenge is getting the people in the church to go out to the world and to show them who Jesus Christ is, so they'll want to come in here, so they'll want to get built up, so they'll want to be changed in their hearts, so they'll want to know the Word of God through and through and take it out onto the streets. With the Word, with an attractive presence, with believing that we can encounter God's grace and His power. Yes, indeed, shall the world sit up and take notice. There is indeed a God in Israel, and we are called, beloved, to arise.
Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands. Before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on His hands. Yeah. reconciled, his pardon voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence I